Well, good morning once again. We're glad that you're here today. Some of you might be wondering, what about baptisms? Because for the last couple of weeks, Pastor Lizzie's been saying, baptisms are coming. And let me tell you, baptisms are coming. There was a bit of a scheduling conflict for this week. So we've got three people right now who are excited about taking the step of baptism. And so at this point, we are moving those to September 7th. So if you still are thinking or praying about baptism, there is still time to come and talk to me about making that public declaration that you have chosen to follow after Jesus. So we're excited about that. That's coming here in a couple of weeks. I also just wanted to note that with our growth path courses, if the cost is a difficulty for you, we do not want cost to get in the way of anyone taking this course. And so please come and talk to me. I already know that we have some sponsorships available for people who are wanting to take that course, but the financial part of it is difficult. So please don't let that be a reason for you not to take the course. Just come and have a conversation with me, and we'll make sure that you are able to be there. The next couple of weeks are exciting in our churches because our BC Foursquare churches are putting on a kids camp and a youth camp. So kids camp happening starting tomorrow, and then next Sunday youth camp starts. And we've got a crew going from our church. And so I'm going to invite them to come forward. We've got Caleb and Terry. We've got Annika and Joshua and Tinica and Miss Terry all headed off to camp over the next 2 weeks. Come on up, guys. Don't be shy. And we are going to pray over them as they go. So Caleb and Terry and Terry and Annika are... The Terry's on the end, and Caleb and Annika are all headed to kids camp this week. Caleb is a camper, Annika and Terry, not as campers, but as workers there. And then the following week, Annika and Josh and Tinica are headed off to youth camp. And so I don't know if you ever went to camp when you were a kid, and especially if it was a camp where you learned about the Lord. Camp is some of those times where God just really meets with young people. And it can be such an incredible moment in their lives as they follow Jesus. So church, let's pray for these guys as they head off. There's not going to be much sleep happening, but a lot of fun and a lot of growth in the Lord. Would you pray with me? God, we thank you for these who are going to camp over the next 2 weeks. And Jesus, I just pray that you would go before them. God, that you would speak to each one, Lord, that this would be a moment where they grow in their walk with you. Father, that your spirit would continue to lead and guide them. God, that you would give them supernatural rest and strength and energy for all that you have for them in the next couple of weeks. So Jesus, we put them in your hands and we expect a good report. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thanks, guys. As we turn to the word this morning, let's just take a moment and pray and get our hearts ready. God, I thank you for your word. I thank you that your word is life. And that every time that we come to it, Jesus, you speak. So Father, today I pray that you would help us to open our hearts, that you would prepare us to receive from you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I want to ask you this morning, who is your favorite superhero? Oh, I heard something. Superman. Okay, I got that one. Any other faves? Superheroes? Spider-Man, Captain America, Thor. I knew you were going to say Thor. Tyler has Thor as his favorite because he tells me and our children that, well, he looks like Thor. So, of course, Thor is my favorite. You know, we like superheroes typically because they can do superhero things, right? They have these amazing superpowers. I did a little research this week. I talked to some people who love superheroes, and I said, tell me a little bit about what they can do. And I discovered that Superman, he can fly, he's indestructible, he has super strength, he has like laser vision. These are things that we don't have, things that we cannot do. Spider-Man, I heard someone say that Spider-Man was their favorite. Spider-Man with this superhuman strength, agility. He could climb up walls. He could shoot webs, which is disgusting, out of his arms. He has what they call like the spidey sense. You know, he just knows when something's not quite right. Batman, some people consider him a superhero, some people don't. There's quite a debate online. But Batman has like this incredible intelligence, and what he has is all these resources available to him. So he has like this virtually indestructible suit that allows him to do some pretty cool superhuman stuff. You've got Thor, which, I mean, if you just look at him, superhero strength, enhanced abilities. He can fly. He can control the weather. He can teleport. That's Thor. Sorry, Tyler, not you. Captain America, again, the superhero strength, superhuman strength, enhanced healing. He just quickly heals when he's injured. He has reflexes that are so fast. Superheroes we love because they can do things that we cannot do. Superheroes are cool. I was thinking this week, there's a song that we actually sing a lot at camp, and it says, Jesus is my superhero. Now, have you thought of that? Jesus as your superhero. Now, this song says that Jesus is better than Spider-Man. He's better than Superman. He's better than Batman. And everybody makes like a little mask and, you know, because Jesus is my superhero. But the problem with the other kind of superheroes, the Superman and the Spider-Man and the Thors and the Batmans, is that we can't do what they do. We don't have those same powers. We don't have that same strength. And so the superheroes that we tend to idolize in the comics or in the movies, those things that they do, they are unattainable to us. So we kind of just put them on a pedestal, like, wow, you're cool. We sit back and we watch in amazement as they take down all of the bad guys. But I wonder if we've ever thought that same line of thinking about Jesus. Is Jesus unattainable? The things that he does, the way that he lived, does he have some sort of superhero status that we're like, we hear doing what Jesus did? Well, I could never do that. I mean, he's Jesus. He's God. I can't be like him. I can't live like him. I'm not super enough. If you've ever thought that, I want to encourage you to read and understand this verse from Philippians chapter 2 because it is so important to us and in our walk with Jesus. In verse 6 and 7, it says that though he was God, though Jesus was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. See, when Jesus came down to earth, the Bible tells us that he gave up his divine privilege, becoming fully man. And while he walked on the earth and while he ministered on the earth, he did things without drawing on his divinity. He did things in that fully human state, not drawing on his divine, what we would consider as superpowers. And the question that I have for us today is why? Why would Jesus do that? Why would he come humbly as a man, not drawing on his divinity? And I believe that the answer is so that we could learn to live as he lived, so that we could follow his example, and so that we could be overcomers in every situation that we face, just like Jesus was the greatest overcomer of all time. This morning, we're going to be looking at the temptation that Jesus faced. The scripture tells us about the temptation of Jesus in Matthew chapter 4 and in Luke chapter 4. And this is a time that's recorded where Jesus was tempted by Satan, by the devil himself, directly tempted. Tempted to do things. Tempted to step ways that was not what God had for him. And I think this is an important study for us because temptation is not something that is foreign to us. In fact, temptation is very, very normal in our lives. Some of us probably face temptation on the drive to church this morning. We face temptations daily. It's not something that's foreign. Temptations to compromise, temptations for us to not live like Jesus, but to rather live in our brokenness. And so this morning, I want to read from Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 11, but I need my Bible. Sorry, friends. Matthew chapter 4. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there this morning. We will not have this portion of scripture up on the screen. But from verse 1, it says, "Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights, he fasted and became very hungry. During that time, the devil came and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread.' But Jesus told him, 'No. The scriptures say people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.' Then the devil took him to the holy city, Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple, and said, 'If you are the Son of God, jump off, for the scriptures say he will order his angels to protect you, and they will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone.' Jesus responded, 'The scriptures also say you must not test the Lord your God.' Next, the devil took him to the peak of a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. 'I will give it all to you,' he said, 'if you will kneel down and worship me.' 'Get out of here, Satan,' Jesus told him. 'For the scriptures say, you must worship the Lord your God and serve only him.' Then the devil went away, and angels came and took care of Jesus." Now, there's some key moments in this passage of scripture that I want us to focus on this morning. The first is in verse 1. In verse 1, it says, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He was led by the Spirit to be tempted. In Luke's gospel, he says that Jesus was filled with the Spirit. He was full of the Spirit. And so remembering from Philippians chapter 2, that Jesus is fully man, but he is also filled with the Spirit of God. He is not facing anything in his own strength, but rather with God's strength in him, because God's Spirit is in him. He's led by the Spirit into this time of temptation. Isn't that interesting? Jesus, Son of God, led by God's Spirit to be tempted. Why? I believe it is so that it is a witness to us, to show us how we might be overcomers, to show us that we can overcome something that assaults us every day, perhaps multiple times a day, and that is temptation. Jesus, led by the Spirit to be tempted. And the first thing that the devil says to him is this: if you are the Son of God. He's looking at Jesus in the face and he says, if you are the Son of God. Now, better understanding of this, if you look back at the original languages, is rather to say, since you are the Son of God, since you are him, prove your identity. Prove it. Let's see how you do when I throw all this temptation at you. And for us, friends, I believe that this is an assault that the enemy tries with us as well. You give your life to Jesus. You say, hey, I'm following him. And the enemy comes and says, oh, since you are a follower of Jesus, let's see how you do when I throw these temptations your way. Prove your identity. Prove who you say you are. This is an assault, really, on who Jesus is. And it's the same assault that the enemy does to us. You say you're going to follow Jesus. You say you've made that decision. You say that you identify with him. Let's see how you do now when temptation is thrown your way. See what comes out when you're squeezed, right? We can all hold it together really well for a short amount of time, but when there's pressure, when there's temptation, when we're squeezed, what comes out? And each subsequent temptation that Jesus faces here in this passage of Scripture was real. They were legitimate temptations. Now, I have something very profound that I want to say to you today. If you want to write it down, go ahead. It's this. A temptation is only a temptation if it's a temptation. Did you need to write that down? Okay, listen. A temptation is only a temptation if it's a temptation to you. For example, I choose to go off of sugar. I want to make healthy decisions, okay, in my life. And Haley here wants to bless me and brings me a plate of Nanaimo bars, okay, and sits them in front of me. And I know I can't, sugar, like Nanaimo bars are like chock full of sugar. And I've made the decision to not go down that path. Okay, here's the thing. That would not be a temptation to me. Why? I don't like Nanaimo bars. I know. Forgive me. But I don't. But if Haley had brought me a plate of donuts, oh, the temptation just got real. Okay? A temptation is only a temptation if it's a temptation to you. We read in this passage that Jesus was hungry. He had been fasting for 40 days. No food for 40 days. So what does the devil tempt him with? Something that would be a temptation. Hey, Jesus, turn these stones into bread. You're hungry. Here's a temptation that would satisfy that hunger. It was a legitimate temptation. The devil says later to Jesus that he would give Jesus all power and dominion if only Jesus would bow down to him. Essentially, what Satan is doing is he's giving Jesus a shortcut. You want to be king of the world? Hey, I'll give it all to you. You just have to bow down to me. That cross thing, hey, let's skip it. Let's take the easy path. No need to suffer. Bow down now and receive immediate satisfaction. Take the easy way out. A temptation is only a temptation if it's a temptation to you. So how does Jesus overcome temptation? Did he use some superpower thing that we don't have access to? No. He didn't use some elaborate spiritual power that is inaccessible to us. Jesus fought temptation as a spirit-filled, spirit-led, word of God-filled man. Are you a spirit-filled, spirit-led, word of God-filled person today? If you are, you have access to everything that Jesus drew upon when he faced temptation. Jesus resisted the devil by speaking God's word in the face of temptation. He drew upon the same thing that we have access to, which is the word of God. The scriptures that Jesus used came out of Deuteronomy. They're word of God from here. The same thing that we have access to today. Jesus did not use any outside of our reach divine resources. He didn't do something that we cannot do. But see, Jesus was filled with God's word, and he overcame temptation by speaking it out, by speaking God's truth. And once scripture was spoken, Satan moved on. And here's something very important for us, and this is something that really stood out to me this week as I was studying. Jesus didn't just silently disagree. He spoke the words. He spoke it out. He responded to temptation with the word of God, because he knew it is the word that overcomes. It is speaking truth that overcomes. Now, there's one other moment in the temptation narrative that we read that I believe is important for us to know and to understand as followers of Jesus. And it's in verse 6, and this is the moment when Satan actually quotes scripture to Jesus. And we can be a little bit confused by that. Wait, how did Satan use God's word? Like, if he's using scripture, then I don't understand what that means. What Satan is doing is he is quoting a portion of scripture from Psalm 91. But the reality is he doesn't quote it in full, and he twists and he manipulates and he deceives. Why? Because that is who he is. Satan is a liar and a deceiver. In John chapter 8, verse 44, it says, "The devil, there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language." Whoa. His native language is a lie. "For he is a liar and the father of lies." Does Satan know scripture? Yes, he does. But he does not rightly apply scripture. He twists, he manipulates, he deceives, and he will use any and every tactic to do that. So why this is even more important for us to know the word of God, to have it in us, to understand how to rightly apply God's word to our lives and to our situations, to use it in context, to say this is God's word and this is what it speaks. Jesus wasn't thrown off by Satan's attempt to use scripture. Jesus countered. He overcame again by rightly applying scripture. Jesus, throughout this temptation, three times says, "The scriptures say." And three times the temptation was overcome with truth. James chapter 4, verse 7 says, "Resist the devil and he will flee from you." Resist him and he will flee from you. How we resist the enemy is with the word of God, with scripture. We become overcomers with scripture. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18 says, "Since he," speaking of Jesus, "since he himself has gone through suffering and testing, he is able to help us when we are being tested." And church, this is good news for us. Because Jesus went through the temptation, because he went through it as fully man, filled with the Spirit, filled with the word of God, the Bible tells us that he is able to help us. today, if you are facing temptation, if it's like an onslaught that the enemy just won't stop, that there's just every day, it's that same temptation. It's that same temptation that's put in front of you. I want you to know that your God, your Savior, Jesus, can help you to be an overcomer. To be an overcomer when temptation comes. Because he has given us the example to follow. And the example that he gave us is not something that's unattainable. In fact, it's something that we have direct access to. And I believe when we look at how Jesus used scripture, how he countered the temptation of the enemy, how he overcame, I believe that we can see three ways that we can also be overcomers when temptation comes. The first is knowing, the second is learning, and the third is speaking. Now let's look at those three. Knowing. Temptation comes with deception. Deception from the deceiver. Satan will tempt with half-truths. He will pull upon our weaknesses. The Bible does say that temptation comes from our own sinful desires, and Satan will take those things, those areas of weakness, and he will push and he will prod and he will lie and he will manipulate. But we need to remember that Satan is the deceiver. We need to know the source behind the temptation. We need to understand that he is the father of lies, that he speaks temptation from his native language. If we know that the temptation is being spoken from a liar, that's going to help us to overcome. Help us to know that we have the authority to overcome with God's word. So know the source. Learn. Learn the word of God. Know the truth. The Bible. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we were so hungry for the word of God that this became the thing that we grab first thing every morning? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we were so hungry for God's truth that we just couldn't put it down? Know God's word. Learn it. Memorize scripture. Honestly, if you've got like a part of a scripture roaming around in your head when temptation comes and you're like, I don't know the full thing, Google it. Look it up. And then turn to your Bible and speak it out. Let's learn God's word. Let's rightly apply it. Because this is where overcoming temptation begins. It begins with the preparation of learning God's word. We want to have it already in our minds, already in our hearts, so that when that onslaught comes, when the tempter tempts us, we have God's word ready to speak it out. And today, if you're like, Lizzie, I don't know God's word. Man, I'm new. I don't even know where to start. Pick it up. Talk to someone in this church. Come and talk to me. Let's get you learning the word of God. Because this is the truth. And this is how we overcome. So we need to know. We need to learn. And we need to speak. We overcome temptation by speaking God's word, by speaking it out, by praying it, by speaking truth, by speaking life that comes from scripture. See, we can be like Jesus, not just sitting aside silently disagreeing, but speaking the word of God. Worship team, you can come forward. Jesus is my superhero, I can say. Jesus is my superhero because he became like us to show us a way to overcome. And not with something that's unattainable, but with God's spoken word. And here's the great twist of the message today. This is our superpower right here. We just have access to it. This is God's word. It's available to us. It is attainable for us, and we are meant to use it to be overcomers. Church family, I want you to know today that you are overcomers. And if temptation right now just feels like that constant onslaught, I want you to know that you have a God who knows what your struggle is, who has been there, and he has overcome. And he comes to you today and he says, call on me and I will help you. I need you, Jesus. If we would come to him and say this temptation, it just won't end. Jesus, I need you. Would you help me? And our God, who knows what it is to be tempted and to overcome temptation, will stand with us. And he will give us the ability to overcome. So today, let's come to Jesus. Let's come to the one who has overcome all temptation. Let's lean on him. Let's rely on him to help us overcome when temptation comes our way. When temptation comes our way, Jesus, I need you. Would you help me? Let's pray. God, thank you that you are a God who knows us. You know our struggle. You know our weaknesses. And Jesus, you have overcome. So Lord, today as we come to you, I pray that you would help us in those moments of temptation, in those moments of weakness, Holy Spirit, that you would bring back to mind your word. Lord, that your word would be on our minds and on our lips, Lord, that we would be bold to speak it out in the face of temptation, that we would resist the devil and he would flee. God, when we are weak, we know that we can come to you. As a God who knows us, who sees us, and who loves us. So Jesus, today we do. We come, we say, Lord, I need you. Thank you, Jesus. Church, let's stand as we worship.